Wiggy thinks, and he's probably right, that we should provide a little bit of variety in the show greeting every morning. What's your
switch it up, man.
What's your recommendation instead of what up, adults?
Or what's good?
Was
good?
What's good? Would there be any kind of
what's good?
Anything on the end of that?
Or? I mean, you can say what's good, big dog. You can say what's good, bro.
Tomorrow, okay. Greg's gonna come in. What's popping?
What's happening?
Yeah, what's
pal?
Popping? I mean, that works.
Could you add a pal on the end?
You could add a pal. What's good, pal?
All right.
What about being a little more diverse? Que pasa?
Que pasa?
Curtis, you sound much better, by the way.
Greg, I have to tell you, I hate it when you're right. It's very often, sadly. Mm-hmm. The Z-Pack may be, after James, the second best thing to ever happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Other than the television remote and maybe the microwave, maybe the single greatest innovation of science.
If you can get your hands on it.
The Z-Pack, yeah. It is.
Clears you right up.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Just take it. And so when did you take it? Yesterday?
Yep. And I figured it out. It says there's five days. I was like, oh, no. How many do I take on the first day? And it's like, take these two together. It's so foolproof.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
If you're really feeling bad, just take all of them at once. That's the way you do it.
Well, I wasn't feeling good, so I snorted it. I don't know if that's supposed to.
That works.
But I want to do two quick shout-outs to Rob on a golf course.
Yeah.
And E from Brockton, two great Twitchers. It's both of their birthdays today.
Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
birthday.
To both. Happy birthday. You can watch the show on Twitch. And thank you to those of you who do every day. And it's really easy to do. Just go to Twitch and follow WEEI.
I just wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
It's a Bruins Thursday on this show.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's not Rob's birthday. I thought it was. I'm sorry.
He's it's correct. Not.
What but about, it is Ease.
It is Ease? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Happy birthday.
Close.
Bruins Thursday. Mike Milbury will join us coming up at 9. Bruins Thursday here. And it is now 6:05. And has anyone in the Patriots wide receiver room in the last hour pointed a finger at their coach or demanded a trade or suggested that they are playing in the wrong place or are better than the entire organization? Has anybody have an update on the last hour?
I bet somebody's done it. I mean, we know how it goes down there in New England. Yeah, if you got issues with whatever it is, just
go public with it.
Go public with it.
I actually, because we are going to get to all of the negative from yesterday that we heard, but I have a positive Patriots lead this morning that are all being supportive of one Gerard Mayo.
All right.
So, you know, there's the good with the bad.
Mm-hmm. But listen, you were part of building the dynasty. I think that's well documented.
Yep.
And for 20-some odd years, things went swimmingly down there.
Mm-hmm.
What number, if you on a sliding scale, when you look at the disarray that is going on, the dysfunction that is going on,
mm-hmm.
with 10 being the worst,
right.
one being the best, where are they currently compared to where it was when you were there?
I would say they're probably at about a 15. A 15, man.
Really? You
yeah, there's that? Just because of what I'm used to, where I come from, and just, you know, even in different organizations, I mean, maybe it was because we didn't have social media back mm-hmm. then, but it just seems like anybody that has an issue with whatever it is going on down there, playing time, role, how they feel about the coaches, whatever it is, they let us know about it. Or it gets out through the media or through their social media. And we've seen it in the past, but it was like here and there. You know what I mean? Now it's like constant.
And they're also willing to put their name on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where in the past it might be, you know, after the season and
right.
Andrew Callahan or whomever is able to get some anonymous quotes about the way things didn't go. And in this particular case, it's seven games in.
To think about how crazy we thought it was that Karen Garigian had that article at the end of Mac Jones' final season and all of the unnamed sources that came out saying what was going on behind closed doors in that locker room. And we were appalled that a Bill Belichick-led team mm-hmm. Would go and speak to a reporter behind
Anonymity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now it's like every single person saying it with their chest, and we're like, well, this has been going on forever. It hasn't.
No.
Yes. Hello.
No, the dysfunction has. It just hasn't been on the surface.
Yeah.
The dysfunction looks a lot worse and probably feeds into more dysfunction if people are saying it with a microphone in front of their
face. Yeah, when you see it, like when we see it publicly, there might be stuff going on behind the scenes that we know about, and that happens everywhere. But when we start to see it publicly, we start to question what the hell's going on. I mean, we did the same thing a little bit with the Celtics, right? There was maybe some dysfunction going on. But once it started to make itself public, whether it's with, the players only meetings and chairs being thrown, you start to question, what's going on? What's the vibe down there? Who's in control?
But the vibe last year was awful. It was just not on the surface. I mean, everybody didn't know about it.
Like, so if somebody...
We knew they weren't a functional team.
No, but it's like, it's a little different. Like, if somebody's marriage looks good on the surface,
right,
but you don't really know what's going on behind closed doors, we, the public, or the fans, we look at it and go, okay, everything's good. But once we start to see all the stuff that comes out, and it's consistent, then we go, oh, that ain't as good as it looks, or it starts to show, well, it doesn't look good over there.
It's wild to me that the guys in that wide receiver room specifically who want up and out of here are not, they're not Steph Diggs.
No.
They're not
Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Randy Moss.
They are demanding a trade.
Right.
And in one case, somebody says, how do you feel about a trade? And they call that question an alley-oop.
And then
you look around and go, we would trade you, but there's zero interest and we're not getting anything for you. How about a mirror? Like, how about looking in? Like, how about a little reality check?
And the Patriots,
KJ.
The Patriots are an awful team right now, and Jerod Mayo has gotten off to a horrific start. But last year they said they were going to restart in the middle of the season, and we said, holy cow, it's the middle of October, and the coach is saying we have to start over? This is why, as much as we can do Belichick and Mayo, and believe me, we'll do that for as long as we're here, the owner of this team is the one that sets the standard for a lack of accountability. You can't walk out with your Air Force crafts on MetLife Stadium Field bragging to everybody about how this was your guy 5 years ago, and then the second headwinds hit, you're saying behind closed doors, leaking to someone, that over the summer you began to get second thoughts.
Yeah, yesterday was a very interesting day because you had those who I think are whispered to or have been whispered to by Jerod Mayo and by Robert Kraft out front suggesting that they may have made a mistake. Or that Jerod Mayo wasn't fit for the job or not the right guy for the job or whatever. So it's like, that's what I'm talking about when it comes to self-destructing. It seems like it's going on. But
I think it's more self-destruction when you start to hear the reports of, and this is where I think maybe Kraft should get on it, like, we had doubts before the season. Maybe we made it. However you want to phrase it, you can't tell me that you had a guy that you wanted for 5 years. You then give this guy an opportunity, and then before the season starts, after what, 6 months, 7 months on the job, you start to go, maybe I should. You know, I'm sorry, like. That, like those two don't add up. That you're willing to wait 5 years for a guy or tell a guy 5 years ago you're our guy and have Kraft. You brought this up yesterday. Bill Simmons talked about Kraft having conversations with the guy behind Bill's back.
Yeah.
And then not even 7 months on the job, you're telling me that you, the guy who pegged this guy 5 years, go, well, maybe we made a mistake. Do you really, like, does that math make math?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Well, we will get to everything that was said yesterday on this morning's show. We are going to talk with Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, in about a half an hour at 6:45 after we get to some of or all of the leads in 10 minutes. We should get all of the leads in for once during their designated time so as to leave room for Bill O'Brien at 6:45.
That sounds like a great plan, Greg. Let's do it.
Did you get out and golf yesterday in the great weather?
I did. I actually got to go play quick 18 with my pops. It was a wonderful day.
Excellent. What'd you shoot?
I shot an 89. Not ideal, but, you know, could have been better. I played.
So, like, a 95?
Yeah.
No, an 89. Don't take mulligans here.
Is anybody
you didn't take a single mulligan?
Yesterday, no.
Whenever you whenever there's a quick stipulation, there's a pause. Obviously, we're talking about yesterday. What else would we be talking about?
I didn't pause, though. I immediately responded. Yesterday, no. I did not.
Where did you play?
I played at Bill Ricka Country Club of Bill Ricka.
Oh, very nice.
Augusta, North.
All right. <That's fantastic.
laughs> Not quite.
Was the 89 good?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was a little quick, though, with the 89, Curtis. Like, almost as if he had pre-planned. Like, he thought I might ask if he
I can pull up the 18 Birdies app for you if you really want, right?
Because I'm sure the 18 Birdies app doesn't ever get distorted by a lying scorekeeper.
Never.
So 89's pretty good, then, Shime.
Not bad, Shime.
Good job, Shime.
Well
done.
Thanks.
Yeah. You look good too. I appreciate you, Courtney.
You have some time left. I mean, I think next week is going to be nice as well, Curtis. Right? Similar thing. I mean,
we might have a record-setting day on Old Hallows Eve.
Really?
Oh wow!
Yep. Excellent.
It's going to be in like the 70s, close to Halloween, right?
Crispy, I would say.
Yeah,
love that.
They said it after Bill O'Brien on today's show. We may need double they said it this morning, Shime.
I think that's probably in play today, Greg. There is a lot of audio that came out yesterday.
Okay. All right. So at least one, maybe two discussions on what they said yesterday in sports. Courtney has the news coming up at 7:45. And I'm guessing that what an OnlyFans content creator is accused of doing to one poor husband may mean that Wiggy will cancel his account. So we will get to that and the and the rest
I get
of
it
the
for
news.
Free on the internet. It's called porn. Pay for no OnlyFans.
You refuse to pay for porn?
Hell yeah. I would never pay for porn.
I think that's an old head take.
What, paying for porn?
No, refusing to pay for it. I don't think that you and I are changing with the times. I think that the quality of the free has gone in the wrong direction.
No, it's still pretty good quality.
And there's a large quantity of free. Right? Yeah. That's the difference.
I think that people pay for the feeling like they're having a relationship with that person, like the contact back and forth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Feels more personal.
For me, the experience is really just about having a relationship with myself.
Then you just need the free stuff. You're good.
And honestly, I love myself.
Yeah.
That is it.
I am my soulmate.
It's a self-care day.
That's all you need. Don't
Haley Seinfeld,
that what
I
women
love
do,
me.
That's the men's self-care day.
I would say, speaking of loving yourself, every photo you post from your beautiful home in Echelon has at least one thing with your name on it.
That's not true. Really.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No. Not really.
Between like the Marconi, the poster.
The other night you posted something and there was the Greg Hill charcuterie board right behind it.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, all right, pal.
Curtis, you're confusing something that has my name on it as the reason why it's there as opposed to it being a free item that I have obtained.
The donut is more important. You're right. Yeah.
But what would you do with the Marconi? I mean, do you want me to put it in storage?
Give it to
Jackson. Marconi's perfect there.
I feel like it
could be in the office.
I feel like it belongs on...
Since you did give it to Curtis.
Well, it does belong to Curtis.
Yeah.
Right.
Put it on your TV stand right under your TV. Oh, I forgot you don't have one of those.
I could put a faux Marconi up there with a
faux
fireplace.
You have a real Marconi. Put the real Marconi on the faux fireplace.
This is Brandon from Boston. Good morning, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning, guys.
What's up?
So, you know, this is the thing. I think now I'm always hard on the Patriots. I'm a Rams fan, by the way, but I feel like the Patriots have a chance to win against the Jets. But let's talk about trades here. We have Cooper Kupp on the block. So for me, I'm doing this deal. I'm putting up Joe Milton. I'm putting up KJ Osborne. I'm putting up some draft picks, and I'm getting Cooper Kupp on the team. This is why I bring Cooper Kupp on the team, because he is a veteran. And he's your third best. And let me tell you why he's your third best. Yeah. He has 147 yards. The only two players that have more than 147 yards is Henry and Douglas. Uh-huh. So imagine if Cooper Kupp wasn't injured. He'll be your first.
Brandon,
that has won a Super Bowl. This is a guy that can coach your wide receivers and your tight ends in the O-line how to move in certain aspects of the field on how to get certain people open.
Brandon, what kind of a – if I could ask, what type of automobile do you drive?
I don't drive at all.
Okay.
I live in the city.
If you were driving a 1995 Toyota with 250,000 miles on it, mm-hmm. would you go out and you
put
know,
some new rims on it?
Try to get yourself some new rims.
First I wouldn't even consider buying that car at all.
Okay, well you've helped me make my point.
That's the Patriots. Why would Cooper Kupp want to come here to a 95 Camry with 200,000 miles on it?
Sorry, I hate to say it to you, but
I love nothing more than caller trade proposals. Because they're always remarkable. Like, imagine you're the Rams today. All right, I'll take your emergency third string quarterback who can't see the field on a 1-6 team for one of the top receivers in football.
Well, Cooper Kupp, a great destination for him is somebody like Tampa Bay, a team that's in the mix.
Yeah.
That has some injuries at the wide receiver. Cooper Kupp's not the same guy from a few years ago that we all think he's dealt some injuries, a little bit older, but he's a guy that you could come in on a team that is competitive, that has a chance to make the playoffs, and he'd be a perfect fit. He's not a good fit here on a team that stinks. You know, yeah. If you're going to trade for somebody on a team that stinks, then you trade for a guy like T. Higgins, who then you could redo, and now he becomes your receiver of the future. Yeah, and I'm not saying Cincinnati's going to do that because, you know, based on where Cincinnati is, they probably still like look at themselves like, all right, we're still in the mix.
We'd have to overpay, though, for all of those guys, right? If we wanted them to come here.
Like a T. Higgins, you'd have to give a look, you know, you'd have to give up, I would say, what?
That's the issue.
Second-round pick?
Right.
Yeah, we'll give up a second-round pick.
It's not going to be their choice. I mean, if you're trading for somebody, it's not going to be their choice. Right.
But I'm not saying T. Higgins is even on the trade market. I'm just saying that would be the guy you'd go after rather than an aging wide receiver.
Yeah. All right, well, we got a lot to get to on this morning's show, including right now what is trending with Courtney.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. Patriots practice yesterday. A lot of injuries. No Jalen Polk, no Ramondre Stevenson, Curtis Jacobs, Laydon Robinson, Anfernee Jennings, Vedarian Lowe, or Keon White. And I know we're going to get to KJ Osborne and some negative things that he said, but he did clarify that call me celebration, Greg, in London.
Yes.
He said it meant call God. So
call God.
Call God.
Oh, okay.
So
is God taking phone calls?
Well, you know, I think prayer is a good call to God.
Hey, God, it's me, Chris.
I see. Can I get a Blondie rejoin?
Oh, yeah, sure.
When it comes to calling someone. Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad he clarified.
Yes.
I don't believe a word of it, but that's okay.
All right. Well, for the Panthers, Bryce Young will be back in at quarterback against the Broncos this weekend after Andy Dalton was in a car accident, injured his thumb on Tuesday. Thursday Night Football will see the Vikings at the Rams. Kickoff at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on WEEI. The Celtics are on the road tonight, taking on the Washington Wizards. Tip is at 7 p.m., the same time that the puck drops for the Bruins and Stars at the TD Garden. And we have Bill O'Brien on the show this morning at 6:45. BC takes on Louisville tomorrow night at Alumni. And Mike Milbury will join us to talk all things Bruins for the first time this season, this morning as well. And today only, stop into your local Shaw's or Star Market for their daily deal. Today's daily deal is pretzel roll sandwiches for $5 each. That's right, pretzel roll sandwiches are $5 each. Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Greg, what day is it?
Bruins Thursday here.
Bruins Thursday.
Mike Milbury at 9 this morning.
I love that. 56 degrees right now. Afternoon high in the mid-60s.
Well, as Courtney pointed out during trending, KJ Osborne has clarified that his phone finger touchdown celly, as Wiggy and the kids would call it, was actually not call me and get me out of here, but was call God.
All right.
Now, I would say traditionally, when one is participating in a sporting event that might be nationally televised, the attempt to bring the creator into it is done with some sort of a gesture or reference to the heavens above.
Yes.
That did not come with this. Mm-hmm. This was just the phone finger up to the ear.
Mm-hmm.
But I am glad that he's clarified, and okay. I take him at his word.
Yeah, because the phone finger to the air as a celly could mean many things, like call the cops because I'm abusing this defense, call your mama and tell it's going to be a long night for a son.
Who was the player that actually grabbed the phone
from Shannon Sharp?
Joe Horn.
Oh. Great celly.
Yeah, that was back in the day, pulled out the flip phone.
Could be a message to the ladies, like call me
something.
After the game.
Or call me maybe.
Yep.
Here's my digits. Slide into DMs.
A lot of different things.
There's a lot of things. Is there any kind of a signal for DM sliding? Shine, you would know. Or College Tom would know. Is College Tom here today?
College Tom is around here somewhere. Okay. He would probably know. Yes. I have no idea.
College Tom, is there any kind of a signal for sliding into DMs?
He says no.
Oh, wow. Negative.
Interesting.
I think you just have to slide and then maybe pretend like you're typing on a phone. That would be my guess.
Yeah. College Tom does a great job, but he just made me start on such an awful note. He's like, Curtis, I wasn't alive in 2004. I said, okay, I don't need anything else.
I watched the first episode of that documentary last night after the Golden Bachelorette, which Lindsay and I watched together.
You're still on that.
Adorable.
In your apartment, it's just the Bachelorette.
Well, it was the hometown visits last
night. Wow, that's intense. You're late in the season.
A couple dudes I cannot stand on that show.
You think they're there for the wrong reasons?
Pascal, the French guy, is so annoying. I think
French people are the worst.
I think he's a fraud. I think he rented like a nice vehicle for the hometown visit thing. And then the other guy, which she bounced, Jordan. Actually, I don't mind him.
Mm-hmm.
There's one guy that she really loves. Guy is his name, and he's a douche.
We don't have guys named Guy anymore.
Well, there are. I mean, it's not a common name. There are still there are still some around.
It's Guy in Canada.
Nailed it.
Yes, Wiggy.
It is. That was good.
Yeah.
Yes, well done, Wiggy.
Like, we know him as, Ian here.
Yes.
But they go as Ian.
But it's excellent, Curtis. That, and you told me it gets better. Like, I only saw the first episode last night.
Oh, it's amazing.
It gets better.
I was wondering what you were doing that was boring last night, because Greg was just texting me these stories back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
So I knew it was a slow night, but I'm very appreciative
that you enjoyed it. Is it all older dudes like the Golden Bachelor?
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if they snuck in a few rando young dudes.
No, they don't sneak like one 30-year-old in.
All right.
To try to hook up with this.
So it's all old, it's
65 year old.
Yeah, it's all older dudes.
Hey, listen, we didn't get to it yesterday, but are these reports accurate that Bill Belichick is shopping for engagement rings?
Wow. I saw 20 different shops he's been at, and
Jesus,
that
really?
he
wants to spend $200,000 on it.
That's what I'm hearing.
Damn,
that's a lot.
And
that's a lot of bread.
She was coming at the throat of other radio hosts yesterday on Instagram, who said that basically they could make the cheerleading team that she was on because they're D3 or whatever. She was like, please, I invite you to come to tryouts.
Oh,
they're
wow.
held in February. She's not backing down. Huh. I love Jordan.
Yeah.
Cheerleader to cheerleader, this girl's got what it takes to settle down with Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
You got it.
Well, it is of interest that he would marry her. It must be true love and soulmate.
A lot of questions on that one.
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, he's 72 and she's 24.
Yeah, but if they're in love, they're in love. And
okay.
It seems, I mean, he was with Linda for a really long time.
Yeah, but wasn't Linda like 50-something?
I know, but I'm just saying he never proposed or anything. So for him to be with this girl for a year in a very crucial part of his life, leaving a career he loves, it's impressive.
All right. Well, let's get to we're on a tight schedule here. So Bill O'Brien will join us in about 10 or 15 minutes. Right now,
this is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
John, great one. Although some Hillman Jinx potential in playing that one, that is Rod Stewart. And If You Think I'm Sexy, I believe is the title of that, right? Great one. He's got a great catalog.
Oh, he does.
Hot Rod Stewart.
Yes. He's a good one.
Hit after hit after hit.
Wiggy, I didn't know you were a Rod Stewart guy.
Yeah, because you got to understand, Rod Stewart's music is similar to Hall & Oates, which I love Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
It's got that vibe to it. Yeah, I mean, Rod Stewart's got some bangers.
He has like 30 legit hit songs.
Very interesting man, too. I mean, based on all the stuff, the Rod Stewart rumors throughout the years, especially back in the day rumors.
Yeah. That's the most ridiculous thing. That was like urban legend.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying. It was very wild.
That's a thing from your and my childhood that nobody in the room knows what you're talking about.
Very wild stuff.
That was before the interwebs, Ricky, where people would tell these stories, and they would make their way around, and they were completely untrue.
They're like the Diddy stories.
Diddy stories, I think, are true.
But back then, you would have been, if there was social media back then, we'd be like, damn, Rod Stewart, that's some freak off.
I don't believe that he ever had to get his stomach pumped. All right. Chime, good morning and hello.
Good morning, Greg. Yesterday, Drake May spoke to the media, and this is what my guy said about distributing the ball and keeping guys involved in the offense.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal. I think at the same time, it's also something that I keep in mind of getting guys the football, especially in one-on-one scenarios. You know, we have different guys that can make plays. I think there's definitely at times in games where, hey, I'm gonna tell you, hey, if you're one-on-one next time, I'm coming your way. You know, I told KB that later in the game that I need to give him some more chances. He's a good player for us. So you know, little things like that. You know, I care about. You know, them guys want the football, and they want the football, and try to feed them all.
It's really interesting that you hear something like that from Drake, and there's stories, I believe, from his high school coach talking about how at halftime in some games, he would look at the box score to make sure he's distributing the ball to as many different receivers as possible. And so you hear that from Drake, you hear the past stories from Drake. I find it very interesting that a guy like Kayshon Booty, who led your receiver core in time on the field with 83% of the snaps, only had two targets in the last game. So to me, this is a clear indication that some of these receivers have gripes, not with the quarterback, but with Alex Van Pelt in particular. Because Alex Van Pelt is the one designing these plays. He designs the progression of reads that Drake May has to go through. And Kayshon Booty is clearly not getting any reads, even though he's on the field a ton.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me. As Wiggy said very appropriately already in the first segment.
Does that math make math?
It doesn't. And thank you. That's my lead today.
Also, is he 22 yet, Drake May?
Yes, he is 22.
Mm-hmm. He has handled himself so well.
Mature.
When it comes to what he has said only 2 weeks in. I mean, he always puts the blame on himself. He always says, even when guys are complaining, he always says, it's on me to get them the football. It's my... he is, out of anybody down there, he's the one who is pointing the finger at himself first. And I'm very encouraged about the man.
I also think it was such a mature move yesterday when he was asked about who's to credit for his betterment when it comes to his footwork and how he handles himself out there. And I'm sure he hears the noise of people calling for AVP's job and calling him a boob. And he immediately went to him, said, you have to give the credit to AVP.
Yeah. Well, he is a boob, but yes. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Curtis, good morning.
Good morning. Yesterday, I picked up James. I said, how was your day? And he said, great. I said, why? He said, I hugged Alice. And I said, oh, my God, that's amazing. And then he said, and held her hand.
Ooh,
and I said, whoa. And as God is my witness, on his life, he said, nailed it. And it was the greatest moment I've ever had as a human. It was just unbelievable.
Now, who is Alice?
Right.
One of his classmates.
Okay. Very nice lady. How does Kennedy feel about Alice?
She's finding out now, unfortunately.
Okay.
But it was truly one of the great moments I've ever experienced it. And we're all brief today, so that was my lead today.
Players gonna play in them streets, man. Players gonna play.
I like that lead.
Me too.
Curtis,
thank you.
A delve into your personal life.
I mean, Jackson would be proud.
I like
go
it.
Go big Jack.
I like it. That is fantastic. And everything was okay afterwards. Alice was fine with the hug. Alice, I assume, liked holding hands.
Consented.
The rumors are in the classroom, there were pictures of all the students, And when Alice was there before school, she went right to James's photos. So
unbelievable.
It's basically like Instagram for kids.
Seems right, like, well, James, he outside in the streets. Yeah.
He's not my
Jeez.
He got multiple ladies. Yeah, I mean, he's in the streets.
He is not my biological son, clearly.
All right, we're gonna take a break. We are gonna interrupt Leeds briefly with Bill O'Brien, who complained publicly this week about something that is not creating the vibe that he wants at Alumni Stadium. So we'll talk to Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, next.
For Boston, we sing our proud refrain. For Boston, tis wisdom's earthly fame. For here are one and our hearts are true, and the towns and the high streets and the blue.
The head coach of Boston College football is brought to you on this show by Timeout Market, showcasing the best of Boston all under one roof. And he joins us this morning bright and early. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Greg. Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah. I mean, it's been a tough week. We've gotten after it this week in practice, and, you know, we got to be ready to go Friday night. So it's been an interesting week, but we're on the right track, I think.
Well, I noticed that you said this week that you essentially need to, as the kids would say, take control of the aux or play DJ or MC or musical director, and you are not pleased with the musical selections at Alumni Stadium. Is that accurate?
So when we came out for the last home game, you know, there wasn't any in the warmups. I'm talking about pregame, and there wasn't really anybody in the stands. And, you know, the music, it felt like, you know, it felt like I was at an opera. You know what I mean?
And Ave Maria.
And so, yeah, Ave Maria. You know what I mean? And so we're getting ready for a football game. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying, like, so maybe we can get some people in the stands at 7 p.m. instead of right after kickoff. And, you know, we'll play some decent music, and if the music doesn't work this time, we'll try something else for the next home game. But, you know, I just trying to get it going a little bit in warm-ups.
You know who could put together a fantastic playlist and essentially be your musical director at Boston College?
Shine.
No, Matt Patricia would be interested if...
I like Bill's idea better.
Shime.
If you're hiring, Bill.
Here we go.
Bill, when you look at your team, you have your past couple of weeks, you have a game where you have the lead, and then you have a game where you basically fight back and score 21 points in the third quarter, have an opportunity, fourth and one from midfield, and, you know, get a turnover on downs. With your team, you show the ability, all right, we can take a lead, but we got to be able to hold on to it. Then you show the ability, we were down, we were able to get back, but we weren't able to finish. What are some of the messages that you kind of can take away that might be positive from, you know, situations where past couple of weeks look pretty bleak?
Yeah, definitely. We're a streaky team, you know, and so what we have to learn is that's not what you want to be. You want to be a consistent team, and we want to try to make sure these guys understand how important it is to play 60 minutes. When you look at these games in college football around the country, you know, these games, a lot of them go down to the wire. It doesn't matter who's playing each other. It doesn't really matter. So we've got to deal with the adversity better. We've got to deal with the success better. And so I think that's one thing that we've really tried to, you know, we've talked about it a lot this week, but we've also worked on it in practice, right? Like sudden change things and, you know, things that come up in games where, hey, man, look, we got to play the next play. And so that's what we're trying to do. And these guys, man, they work hard. They're trying to do it the way we're doing it. We want them to do it. And, you know, along the lines of coaching too. We got to coach better. We got to adjust better during the game and things like that.
Bill, a big difference from the beginning of the season when you guys were performing really well to the last 3 weeks with the bye in the middle is turnovers have kind of become your Achilles heel. What's been the difference there? Is it just going against harder defenses, or is it something that you guys have struggled with internally?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, we cannot put the ball on the ground. We can't throw interceptions. You know, some interceptions are going to happen, you know, if a ball bounces the wrong way or something like that. But, you know, we have to be when we carry the football, Courtney, for Boston College, when we handle the football, we're carrying the hopes and dreams of everybody in the school, in the team. And so, like, we have to understand that. Like, the possession of the ball, there's nothing more important than that. And I believe really strongly that if we, you know, take care of the ball better, then we'll be in position to win games. But we turn it over. We turn it over on Virginia Tech's 5-yard line. We're going in to score. You know, we can't do that. And we've emphasized that this week, and hopefully it gets better.
Hey, Billy, I know it's a pet peeve of mine, but it's my, you know, my own problem. However, it's obscene to me that Notre Dame is expected to be one of the 12 playoff teams. They lose at home to Northern Illinois, who's mediocre at best. Is there, I don't know, if, I mean, I guess it's just, you know, it's good for the sport, but have you, does it irk you as much as it irks me that every year Notre Dame finds itself in a conversation it doesn't deserve to be in?
Something happened, you know, a long time ago when Notre Dame was allowed to be, you know, I get it, it's money. I understand what happened when they signed their NBC TV contract years and years ago, and they became their own entity, right? So, like, they were on their own. Like, even in the ACC, they're not really, in football, they're really not a part of the ACC. It's just the other sports. So I'm not smart enough to really understand how that all happened, but, like, you know, just because they're Notre Dame and because they're on their own doesn't mean they're automatically qualified for certain things. And so I think, like, and I have a lot of respect for Marcus Freeman and how he runs his program. I'm just talking about Notre Dame as a football program. You know, shouldn't they be in a conference? I don't know. But, you know, what do I know?
Bill, you keep talking about how hard this team is working in practice. Would you say that your team is not soft?
Our team's not soft. No, I love our team. Our team plays hard. That's the least of our problems. Our team has to learn how not to lose before we can learn how to win. Meaning, like, you know, the question you asked before about, you know, we got to take care of the ball. We got to stop the run. You know, meaning we got to be in our gap. We got to be in the right gap. The coaching wise, we got to make better adjustments. You know, we're all in this together. Everybody at Boston College is in it together. When we lose as a team. It's not one side of the ball loses, the other side of the ball wins. That's just not the way it is in football. And so we've talked a lot about this week, like, you know, a lot about that, you know, how we can come together, play complementary football and play together as a team. But no, this is a tough football team. This team will play hard. I think every time I go out there before the game or even after the game, the opposing coach always says, man, you got a tough team. Well, that's good. I mean, it is good, but we got to learn how to win and to stop, you know, losing games by making mistakes. But toughness is not our problem.
Oh, Courtney's alluding to it, but Jerod Mayo may have stepped in it here or there a few times recently. If you, having been a first-year head coach in the NFL, if you could only give one piece of advice to Jerod Mayo, what would that be?
You know, first of all, Greg, I understand the question, I really do, but I'm not in the place to give advice to Jerod Mayo. I mean, I coached 7 years in Houston. You know, I know Jerod. You know, I coached with Jerod for a year. I was on the staff when he was a player. Now, look, I think just generally speaking, though, answering your question, I think it's really important for, you know, all younger coaches to understand, like, it is very, very difficult to be a head coach. When you get into that seat and, you know, maybe you don't have a whole lot of experience, like, it's just a different world. You know, to go from being a position coach to being the head football coach, you know, it's hard. And there's going to be some learning experiences that take place. And, you know, to me, it's like all about keeping the team together, especially when you're in a situation. It's very difficult. I was there last year. We were terrible. I mean, it was hard, man. And we had a lot of good guys on the team, but, you know, it was just a brutal situation. And, it's important to try to keep them together and keep them playing as good as they can and try to get them to improve every week. That's the hardest thing. But being a first-year head coach in the National Football League is you know, you're well compensated, like, no doubt about it. Nobody's feeling sorry for you, but it's a very, very difficult job.
Given how difficult the job is, were you surprised that Bill Belichick was so public in his critique of Gerard?
Well, I think Bill's the one thing about Bill is, you know, he's a very honest guy. Like, he's very, very smart. He's going to tell you what he sees, and that's what his role is right now. He's in the media. And, you know, I haven't talked to Bill in a long time since the summertime, but, you know, he's doing what he believes is right for his job, right? So he's in the media, and he's honest in his assessment of every team. You know, when I've listened to it, I haven't listened to it a whole lot, but, you know, it's not just the Patriots. I mean, I think he assesses every team the way he sees it, and, you know, that's what his role is in the media.
Do you think you'll make the wedding guest list?
The wedding? What's that? Do I think I'll make it?
Yeah.
No. I don't think I'll be on any wedding guest list. I'm not. But the thing of it is, like, I'm not a big wedding guy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. Yeah. I'm not sure that I would politely probably decline the invitation anyways.
Yeah. Well, you're so, like Wiggy. Wiggy can't stand destination weddings. He doesn't want to spend to go to your wedding. Do you feel that same way?
Yeah, I'm with Wiggy. Like, I'm not into wedding. Like, I'm not. You know, my favorite things to do are, like, you know, 4th of July, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving, but weddings themselves, like, not a big wedding.
Yeah, I don't want to waste my vacation going to your destination wedding or someplace I might not want to go to.
You just lost Courtney, by the way.
No.
It's her favorite thing.
If
she could have 70 of them, she'd have 70 weddings. It's her favorite thing in the world.
My wife loves weddings, so, like, I get it, but, like, I'm not a big wedding guy.
Bill O'Brien, it is always a pleasure. Go get him tomorrow night. I think Courtney's going tomorrow night. Courtney's going to be there tomorrow night. And get that playlist ready, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Okay. Appreciate it.
There he is, the great Bill O'Brien.
They need some Boss Man D-Lo and Big X the Plug at music for the alumni stadium.
Yeah, he's right.
Why don't you send him a text message?
My name came right out of his mouth, so I'd be happy to step in.
Yes, it did, Sean.
I think Billy O's tired of DJ Father Leahy.
Yeah.
Sean, they're going to pay you in meatballs in a cup, if that's okay.
Honestly, I'd take that.
All right, we will be back with the rest of this morning's leads. Finally, next.